seated. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of God here today? Amen. Well, kids, are you ready? It is time to go at this time. Let's dismiss our kids for their children's ministries. Let's encourage them as they come, everybody. Here they come. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, what a troop. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, it's so good to see everybody here today. Did you come ready for the Word of God? I'll tell you what, the Lord is in our presence. Amen. We're in His presence, and He's here today. He said if we gather in His name, that He would be right here in the midst with us. Do you believe that here today? Amen. And if He's here to bring His ability to save, to deliver, to set free, to bring instruction, to give us the answers that we need. Amen. To get us through a very difficult time on this earth. Folks, we know there's a lot of challenges facing this world right now. A lot of things being shaken. You got to get rooted and grounded in the house of the Lord. You got to be rooted and grounded. Why? Because those roots is what's going to keep you from falling over, you know, from toppling over and crumbling. Amen. Well, before we get to the Word of God, we just need to announce this every week until we understand that we don't have everybody here every week, so we have to just kind of start fresh with this announcement. We're very excited. Youth Camp is coming up. Youth Camp, August 8th through the 11th. Here we go. Of course, we've got the slide behind you. Youth Camp is just a wonderful outreach every single summer. We have kids from this church and from so many different corners of our community. Our youth camp is taking place coming up. I tell you what, August 8th is just right around the corner. Hey, and guess what? Today is the last day of registration. All right, I know all of a sudden it catches people off guard, and a lot of times we have a last minute rush, and that is completely fine. Get it done today. Hey, Reverend Savante is over here. Reverend Savante, can you lift your hand? Here is our youth minister, everybody. Yeah, doesn't he do a great job? Him and his wife, Miss Tiffany. I'll tell you what. So after service, go over and bombard Reverend Savante and get your kids signed up for youth camp. It's only a $50 registration fee. That's going to be the entire cost for the families that want to participate. It's not just for family church families. It's up there at Mission Meadows, up there on Chautauqua Lake. How many of you know where Mission Meadows is? A beautiful property. I mean, they're going to have access to the lake. They're going to have, you know, canoeing or kayaking, and there's a swimming pool, and there's a climbing wall and a gymnasium and all the awesome activities that our leaders will provide. Family Church is providing the leadership for that camp. It's a dynamic experience for these kids to get just connected to the plan of God for their life. It changes these kids. And, you know, every year about half of our youth camp is, you know, for kids that are unchurched or don't have the experience of being raised in a local church. So it's such an important time. It's a great outreach. Folks, it costs about $300, somewhere in that neighborhood, per child in order to put them through the youth camp. And of course, you know, all together that would make a big expense. And we're trying to keep it as affordable as we can for families because we don't want to see kids not have that opportunity just because of finances. And we know that the days that we live in, there's a lot of challenge on people's finances right now. And so what we're doing is that we're raising the funds as a church family all together somewhere, I think last year, what was it, Reverend Savante? Somewhere around $27,000 or more is needed to fund this entire camp. Of course, our leaders, they're there as volunteers. And I'm here to tell you, if you're willing to help, if you'd like to help in the youth camp as an adult leader, please see Reverend Savante. He'll get you connected. There's always help needed there. But we need to just cover that expense, knock it out as a church. Amen. And in order to do so, we have a green envelope. It's a special colored envelope, different than we normally do, right there in the seat pocket with you. If you wouldn't mind taking one of those envelopes, go home, pray over it. See what the Lord would have you to do. Maybe you'd like to sponsor a child. Maybe you'd like to give a one-time gift. Maybe you'd like to put, you know, a little something in this envelope every single week for the next few weeks. Maybe you just like to make a pledge. You know, maybe, you know that you've got some finances coming up and in a little while you could make a gift to that. However you want to work it, that would be great. You can just simply include these green envelopes right there in our normal church offering. And that's way we know that every bit, 100% of this offering goes to that youth camp and to our youth group. If we go over that budget, well, the youth camp or the youth group gets blessed. It allows them to have a budget to continue going forward. Amen. So if you could pray over that, if you could seek the Lord, if you're ready to give something here today with this, you can certainly do that if you'd like. But let's just knock out that expense. Amen. And next week, we'll give you an update where we are at with that fundraising, and we'll make sure just to knock this right out. And hey, if we meet that number, you know, early, then the fundraising will be done, right? Amen. And so let's just get it taken care of as a church family. Amen. Isn't it a blessing to help provide for these kids in that camp? What a wonderful opportunity. Thank you, everybody, for doing so. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to Malachi chapter 3. And today I'm going to call this message, The Reasons Why You Are Gonna Make It. The Reasons Why You're Gonna Make It. You say, Pastor, make what? What are you talking about? Well, we understand we're living in a very challenging time on this earth. And there's a lot of things, you know, talking to us through media, through social media, through just the challenge that is going on in this world right now. So much negativity, so much controversy, so much stuff on the news, always giving you reasons why you should be afraid, why you should be, a fear that you're not gonna have enough, or why the economy is gonna collapse, or the impending wars, or if you're just spending time on social media, everyone trying to expose one another and point out everyone's faults and failures. Folks, don't participate in the negativity. Don't participate in the controversy. And you know, and good news is getting so hard to find these days, because you know why they're not feeding us good news? Because good news doesn't sell. Good news doesn't get the clicks or the views. You know, they need to stir up controversy to try to sell that to you to gain interest. We should be way more interested in what God says, what God is doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't participate in this world that's just trying to make you grieved all the time, trying to make you bitter all the time, trying to, you know, make you worry about why you're not going to make it. Well, today I'm going to give you several reasons from the Word of God why you are going to make it. If you're going through a challenge, you're going to get to the other side of that thing. If you're going through a real test, you're going to get victory over that test. You're going to pass that test. Amen. God is bigger. He is stronger than what we're facing. He's greater than anything in the world. And we need to take a little break from our regularly scheduled programming here this morning. I was kind of in a series of messages, and we'll get back to that, you know, about the roadmap of how to walk in God's highest and best. But I believe today would be included in that. But we need to have our faith refreshed. We need to have a renewed confidence, a restored confidence in why we can trust God, why we know He's going to keep His promises. Amen. And we can be excited about that. Go to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. And usually when people hear Malachi chapter 3, they automatically start thinking about what? Tithing. But here we're actually going to verse 1. This really, if we start to, of course, this is not a message on tithing. If it was, I would just tell you, of course, we're not afraid to preach whatever God's word says. But you'll see, actually, as you get into this a little bit deeper, you'll realize what tithing is really about. And boy, you know, that's obviously not my topic here today, but there is a downright assault. Be careful with all of this social media nonsense. It's just exploding lately of Christians on YouTube and all this saying that tithing is not biblical. Tithing is not scriptural. It's funny how every great spirit-filled theologian of the past all knew that it was scriptural, but all of a sudden influencers know more than them. How could that be? Well, praise the Lord. Folks, you better get it from the source and not from YouTubers who are guilty because they're not tithing. That's why they don't want to believe. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. Before you totally tune me out,
Go to Malachi 3:1. Of course, tithing is not the topic, but covenant is going to be the topic here today. We're going to talk about the reasons why you're going to make it. And we're going to start here, and we're going to start in verse 1. Folks, we got to remember, it's not what we have, it's who we have. You know, it's not, you know, what we need, it's who we need. And I'll tell you what, if you're a born-again Christian, I can tell you who you have. You have the greater one living on the inside of you. You have the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob who's living on the inside of you. You have the faithful God who's faithful to 1,000 generations. He's the God of all flesh, and nothing is too hard for him. Amen. That's the God who lives on the inside of you. He's the only one true living God. He's the God of Israel. He's the God of the Christian church. Amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's start right there. He says this. This is a prophecy, and you're going to see who this prophecy is about. And I just want to let you know that this is taking place in Israel in a time when most of that nation had forsaken God. And this was taking place around 400 years before Jesus even showed up. And so think about what was going on 400 years ago on this continent. The United States of America didn't even exist 400 years ago. 400 years ago was just a little bit beyond, just a little past the first English settlement in Jamestown, Virginia, Captain John Smith. How many of you remember your third grade history, right? Remember Captain John Smith and Jamestown, Virginia? That was what, 1609, all right? The King James 11, or King James Bible, 1611. So think about how old that is. 400 years ago is quite a while in our minds, in our mortality, in our natural life. So 400 years before Christ steps on the earth, this is the last book of the Old Testament. And there's about 400 years of history between Malachi and the beginning of the New Testament, which is the book of Matthew, 400 years before Christ stepped on this earth. And God was using a prophet Malachi to call Israel back into fellowship. They were backslidden. They had turned to evil. They had turned away from God. And we find it here in Malachi 3:1. God is going to tell them some very important things about their future. Look at this. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." He's talking, you know, Malachi's prophesying, you know, in the first person as if he, you know, he's speaking for the Lord. He says, "I will send my messenger, he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he will come, saith the Lord of hosts." Everybody, let's take a moment and ponder this for a second. Who is he talking about? The Lord says, "I will send a messenger before me." He said, the Lord will come to his temple, the one that you're seeking or the one you're looking for. Who is this a prophecy about, everybody? Jesus. Here, 400 years before Jesus ever stepped foot on this earth, the Lord used this prophet to say, the Lord, I will show up to my temple. There's a day when I'm going to step foot on this earth. He says, you know, he talks about his coming to the temple, but this scripture is actually talking about two different individuals. He says, "I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Who was the one that was sent to prepare the way before the Lord's coming? His name was John the Baptist, right? And so isn't it amazing how the Bible predicts what's going to happen and then it happens? This is what separates the Bible from any other so-called religious text in the world. It is prophetic. It tells you what's going to happen. Jesus, the messenger of the covenant, John the Baptist prepared the way in front of him. But notice in the scripture, he says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." Who is doing the actual speaking in Malachi 3:1, everybody? Jesus. There we go. We're reluctant to say it because we think Malachi 3:1, that's not Jesus speaking. That's Old Testament. That is the voice of Jesus speaking through this prophet. He says, I'm going to send my messenger before me. And he's saying, I am the Lord and I will show up to my temple. And he did show up when they didn't expect it, when they didn't know, you know, what to expect. And it caught the Pharisees off guard. But he told them 400 years before that he was going to be there. So this is a verse about Jesus and also a mention about John the Baptist, the forerunner. But notice, I want you to see in Malachi 3:1, notice what Jesus is called in this prophecy. Jesus is called the messenger of the covenant. Get a hold of this, everybody. And I'm going to take you on a little bit of a deeper walk, you know, into the word here today. So, you know, there's going to be some teaching. There's going to be some preaching. Notice Jesus called himself in this verse the messenger of the covenant. First of all, and of course, if you're not sure of the answer, that's okay. You don't need to shout it out. Maybe someone will know. What covenant is Jesus the messenger of, everybody? The Abrahamic covenant. Man, we've got some Bible scholars here at the church. Jesus calls himself in this prophecy the messenger of the Abrahamic covenant. Remember the Abrahamic covenant, everybody? Back there in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, God said that he would bless all the families of the earth through Abraham's descendants. And he made a covenant to establish free righteousness by grace through your faith. How many of you have received God's free grace through faith in Jesus Christ? Amen. And the Bible says that if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you've been brought into that Abrahamic covenant. But notice Jesus calls himself the messenger of the Abrahamic covenant. Boy, a lot of times, you know, and again, I say this often, and some of you might be thinking, wow, Pastor, you're going right back to this topic again. Yes, hold on. And I'm going to tell you exactly why. Jesus is called the messenger of the Abrahamic covenant because that was the reason why Jesus came to this earth. Now, when we ask that question to Christians, a lot of times they'll say, well, Jesus came to save the lost. And that's a good answer. He did come to save the lost. But specifically, Jesus wasn't just coming because he wanted to. Jesus came to this earth because he had to. It was required because he was bound by an oath to come to this earth to fulfill the covenant of Abraham. He was bound by his own word. He was tied. That covenant was his mission. That covenant was his mandate. Because of what he spoke all the way back there to Abraham, God had to keep that word. And I'm here to tell you, God is still keeping that word to Abraham today. And you need to understand where you fit in all of this. All right. This is why I'm going to tell you, this is why you're going to make it. This is why you're going over. You should rejoice and be glad here in a minute when you understand that you are included in this prophecy. Amen. Glory to God. So the covenant of Abraham is the mission of Jesus. He had to. He was bound by commitment. He was bound by an oath. He had to come and shed his blood. He had to wash the world of its sins so he could bring everybody in to the blessing of Abraham. He had to redeem us from the curse. Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or the cross, that the blessing of Abraham would come upon everybody through faith. Jesus had to fulfill that promise. He had no choice. Of course he wanted to. Of course he wanted to redeem us. Of course he loved us, but he was bound by this covenant. It was his mission. It is his mandate. And I'm here to tell you, it's still his mission. And because of this covenant, this is what gives God permission to move in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is absolutely his message, his mission, his mandate. His responsibility, he was held to his own word. And let's keep reading. In verse 2, it says, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. That's what Jesus is interested in. He's interested in purifying us, making us fit to stand before God. Amen. He's not here to relate to us. He's not here to make it easy on us. He's not just here to get us and to understand us. He's here to tell us that we don't understand and that we need to get washed and stand before God and be refined like silver and gold. It says, and he shall sit as a refiner, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, that's Israel and the priests. It says, and he will purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's what God ultimately wants. He wants your heart living right before him. Amen. And he says in verse 4, then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. He says, I will come near to you in judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers. The term sorcerer just doesn't mean a wizard or a fortune teller. We have to know and understand what sorcery is in our days. You do understand that in the New Testament, the word witchcraft or sorcerer is actually the Greek word where we get our English form of the word pharmacy. Do you know that? And I'm not trying to woo you. You can look this up in the Greek books, and I'm not a Greek scholar. But it's the word in the New Testament for sorcery and witchcraft is pharmakeion, which is where we get the word prescription drugs. Or we could say it this way, drug use. Well, that really went over well. You can tell that the devil is so interested in getting people addicted to any drug he possibly can. Our nation is starting to decriminalize drug use. You know, and of course, we're reaping the negativity. We're reaping all the aspects of that. Boy, are you here? Sure is getting quiet in here. See, we think that sorcery is just sitting down and working up spells and being a witch or a wizard. No, that's not talking about. Listen, that's exactly what drug use is. And I'm not talking about, good medicine that could help you in your body. I'm not talking about all those prescription drugs are all bad or something like that. There's plenty of medicine that's good. I'm talking about recreational drug use. You know, what it does, it distorts the mind. It's called witchcraft in the Bible. It's, sorcery. And I know it sounds, okay, this is going too far. I don't understand. This just doesn't, meet our modern, society. It doesn't matter what our modern society says. It matters what the Word of God says. When you got to know and understand, he's talking about those that give their mind over to opening up their mind, through witchcraft, drug use. Boy, are you here today? He says, I will come against you in judgment against the adulterers, the perverted. He said, I'll come against the false swearers or the liars. He says, I will come against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, those that oppress the widow and the fatherless, and those that turn aside the stranger from his right and do not fear me, saith the Lord of hosts. See, that's what Israel was doing in the days when this was written. They had turned into a very licentious society. They were very, heathenistic. They had turned away from God. They were not living for the Lord. They were perpetrating evil all over the land. I tell you, and God is saying, listen, be careful. I'm going to have to come close to you in judgment. Folks, I'm here to tell you today, even in the church in America, judgment's not mentioned very much. People don't realize that the same God that promised judgment then is the same God who's promising judgment now. Your actions do matter. And there is a reckoning day for all this stuff. But look at what he says, though. He says, even in all their evil and everything that Israel was doing and all the bad that they were perpetrating, look at verse 6. Then he says this, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not destroyed. He said, you're living a life, Israel, back then. He said, you're living a life that's worthy of judgment. It's worthy of destruction. It's worthy of being removed off this earth. But God said, there's one thing keeping me from bringing judgment, and that's the covenant and the promise that I made to Abraham 2,000 years before Malachi's day. When notice in the word, notice God called them the sons of Jacob. He said, you sons of Jacob. But that's interesting because those Israelites in those days, they didn't feel a personal connection to Jacob because Jacob hadn't been on the earth for nearly 2,000 years. But God was still calling them the sons of Jacob. Listen, just because you don't see yourself in a role doesn't mean that God doesn't see you in that role, you know? And the term sons of Jacob should sound very familiar to us as Christians because the sons of Jacob, who was Jacob, everybody? Yes, his name was changed to Israel, and he was the grandson of who, everyone? Abraham. So you could say it this way. Jacob was Abraham's seed. He was a recipient of the promise. And so God spoke to this group of people and he said, you sons of Jacob, this is the reason why you are not consumed. Because even though you're living in evil, even though you're doing everything against me, he said, this covenant is so important to me. It is protecting you when you don't deserve it. It's helping you when you've missed it. Are you getting a hold of this, everybody? He says, I am the Lord. I don't change my promise. I am the Lord. I'm faithful even when you're not. I am the Lord. I don't go back on my word. Are you here? Come on, get a hold of this, somebody. He says, I don't go back on my promises. He says, if I made an oath, I will keep it. He's basically saying, our Heavenly Father is saying, my covenant is sacred to me, and my covenant is protecting you even when you're falling short. Because even though you've walked away, even though you're perpetrating evil, even though you're worthy of judgment, he says, I still have a plan. I still have a plan. Say, Pastor, what does this have to do with me? Hold on. You're going to see. Praise the Lord. Notice this. Covenant is more important to God than judging evil. Let me say that again. Covenant is more important to him than judging evil. Does this mean that this gives us a license to sin? No, it actually should do just the opposite. That grace and that mercy and his willingness to be patient with you should draw you to him. It should draw you away from sin. It should make you relieved and so glad that even in times when we were missing it, even in times when we had walked away, that he didn't give up on us. He didn't cast us aside. Are you here? Oh, thank you, Father God. Do you think that you've offended God even without knowing it at times? Do you think that you've ever done something, you know, that may have been worthy of judgment, but God decided not to bring that judgment? He took mercy on you. Amen. I tell you what, thank you, Lord, for treating me so much better than I deserve. Thank you, Lord, when I fall short, you're still looking at that covenant. Thank you, Lord, because if I miss it and if I wasn't even aware of how I was missing it, Lord, you have kept me by that grace. That doesn't make me want to go live in sin. That makes me so grateful. It makes me want to walk away from sin. Amen. Are you getting a hold of this? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Covenant is more important to God than judging evil. Faithfulness is more important to him than judgment. He said, I'm going to stay faithful to you when I could have judged you. Wow. Wow. And of course, he did warn them that if they didn't change, judgment would eventually fall. Notice this. You just can see God's heart. He's trying to have mercy as much as he possibly can. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for it. Loyalty was more important to him than proving someone wrong. Boy, let me say that again. Loyalty was more important to him than proving someone wrong. I'll tell you what, boy, how would that work in your marriages? How would that work? Think about how that would be a blessing to our life and so many around us if we decided to choose loyalty over just trying to prove everybody wrong. Are you here? This is the heart of God. This is what covenant does. Covenant doesn't give up on somebody just because they have a bad day. Amen. Of course, God will eventually have to judge. Praise the Lord. But notice how God is so faithful to that covenant. That covenant was the reason why they weren't destroyed. That covenant was working for them even when they wanted nothing to do with it. Think about that. He says, you sons of Jacob, or in other words, you seed of Abraham, because you are in the Abrahamic covenant, you aren't consumed or destroyed. Boy, if we could just be the seed of Abraham. Well, how great it would be just to be the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3:29, can you bring that up for us? Galatians 3:29, you know I go back to this so much so Christians will understand who they are. Galatians 3:29, it says, and if you be Christ's, New Testament, if you are a Christian, this is what you are. You are Abraham's seed, and you are the heir according to the Abrahamic promise. You have inherited a promise that God made to Abraham over 4,000 years ago. And that's why he had to send Jesus to this earth. That's why he had to wash you of your sins so that he could bring you into that covenant. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's tell you the reasons why you're going to make it. Number one, for the covenant. For the covenant. For his covenant that he's made with us. Amen. Notice what God does when you are in this covenant. No, it is not a license to sin. Yes, we need to make corrections and changes, and if we've got to judge ourselves that we be not judged, we should do that. But just think of it. When God sees you as the seed of Abraham, he sees his own promise before he sees your failures. Let me say that again. When God sees you, are you here today? Oh, folks, you need this. I need this. In these days, this very challenging day that we're living in, you need to know who you are. You need to know what belongs to you in the Abrahamic covenant. You need to know that you're the seed of Abraham, because you're going to need to know how to talk to God. You're going to need to know how to walk in that covenant. You're going to need to know what gives you audience when you call upon his name. Oh, come on now. You are Abraham's seed. You have inherited the promise. When God sees you, he sees his own promise before he sees your faults, before he sees your failures, before you see he sees your mistakes, before he sees all the things that you've missed it and all the things that you've messed up. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't think I've messed up. Or sometimes we haven't messed up. I'm not saying that you have. Not saying that I have. But I'm here to tell you, this is why you're going to make it. Because do you see how much weight and importance that God puts on this covenant? He said, you sons of Jacob, I look at you and I see a promise that I made thousands of years ago. And that is what's keeping you from being destroyed when you've missed it, when you've sinned. God is not saying that he's okay with sin. Of course he's not. But he's telling us that if we still have life in our body, if we've got a heart beating in your chest, then there is hope. You can make better choices. There's something that God has provided that'll meet every single need that you'll ever have. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can rest in this covenant. You can depend that God is going to show up at the right time, in the right place, and be there for you. Amen. You'll start to see yourself in this covenant. You'll start to realize that God's faithfulness is so great. He treats you better than you deserve. This is how I know he's going to feed me every day. This is how I know he's going to heal my body. This is how I know he can work in my marriage. Because he made such a great covenant promise. Hallelujah. He sent his son to be crucified on that cross, to fulfill a promise that he made to Abraham, just so he could bring you and me into this covenant that we didn't deserve. There was no other way in. Listen, you've been brought into this covenant. You've been brought into this covering and this promise of God. Does it mean that everything's just going to automatically work out for you? No. But you need to know first and foremost that you can call upon this. He was trying to get Israel in the days of Malachi to understand. Do you know who you are, sons of Jacob? You are the recipients of my promise. You are the ones of my covenant. And if you'll just walk in it, He said, you'll never lose another battle ever again in your life. No enemy will be able to tear you down. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper if you know who you are in this covenant. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, we sometimes don't know and understand who we are. Praise the Lord. God isn't saying that he's okay with sin. He's letting us know that there's hope. And he's letting us know that even if your life has crashed, or even if you're going through the hardest challenge of your life, if it seems like your life is in 100 pieces, the good news is you can scoop up those pieces and you can go to that covenant and he'll still take care of you. Even if you're going through the hardest moment, or if the world is facing, you know, the greatest challenge in modern history, you've got a covenant. This is what makes you different than the rest of the world. This is why you're going to thrive. This is why you're blessed. Are you here? Say, well, Pastor, I don't want to know anything about this covenant. I'm trying to be just a good Christian. I'm just hoping that nothing bad will happen. Folks, I'm here to tell you that isn't going to work. That isn't going to help you just hoping for the best. You got to know who you are. You got to know what promises are given to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, whether or not you make it, it's not relying upon you. It's relying upon him. You know, but you're going to have to walk with him. You're going to have to obey him. Praise the Lord. And you got to know his grace and his mercy. The good news is God isn't going to forsake you because you've messed up. Has anyone ever messed up before? Well, I guess some of you haven't. I'm amazed. All right. Praise the Lord. We've got some really perfect people around here, you know, but have you ever messed up? Yeah, we've missed it. Times when we disobeyed God, we didn't even realize we were disobeying God, or we didn't follow him fully, or maybe sometimes we just downright sin against him, or whatever we've done. The good news is, even if you've messed up, God is willing to call you back. He's willing for you to come back to that covenant. Amen. Praise the Lord. He isn't going to forsake you because you haven't done enough. His mercies are new. And the opportunity to live in the light of this covenant is still available to you. God isn't giving up and he's not done with you. You can be forgiven, or maybe you're just dragging your feet. Maybe it's not because you're just living in abject sin, but maybe you're just not on fire for God like you once were. Guess what? You can get back in. You can get back in. Amen. God's overwhelming grace is what keeps me coming back to this covenant. His overwhelming grace, you know, just won't let me go the way of the world. I refuse to be defeated when he's given me so much. Covenant is the reason why you're going to make it. This is why God is going to be faithful to you. And the question is, do we know it? We've got to know this. Hallelujah. I didn't deserve to be counted in this covenant, but he brought me in. This is why we can keep moving forward. This is why you can keep picking yourself up. If you got to pick up 1,000 pieces that your life is shattered into, guess what? You can pick it up and get right back into that covenant. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, he's given us so much. He's given us this covenant so we rest. So we rest. I'm not talking about just taking a day off every week. I'm not talking about just getting enough sleep. I'm talking about a rest that can only come from the throne of God. Amen. An internal rest that you are at such peace and that you have such confidence in this covenant that he's made with you that you don't worry anymore. Amen. It doesn't matter if the world is on fire, you're still at rest. This was the rest that Jesus had in Mark chapter 4 when he was asleep on the back of that boat and it was already half sunk. Notice, you can be at complete rest even when your life looks like it's half sunk. You know, you can be at rest even if, you know, things in your family are just being torn up, or the finances don't seem to be coming together. You know, or you're going through a challenge in your body. You could be going through a tough challenge, but that doesn't mean that you have to give up on your rest. Absolutely. Amen. Look at, you're back in Malachi 3:6, look at verse 7. He said, even from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. He's saying, you're just like the previous generations. You haven't obeyed God. And I'm not saying that that is pertinent to every single person in here. We're just, you know, using Israel as an example. He says, even from the days of your forefathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. You have not obeyed them. And the Lord says, return unto me and I'll return unto you. How awesome is that? Amen. Even if you missed it, God is saying, come on back. You know, jump in, receive of this covenant. But notice what they said. They said, wherein shall we return? They didn't even realize that they were away from God. It's going to be hard to return to him if you think you're okay. If you think that you don't need to repent, if you're just thinking that you can live your own way and still have God's way, then you're deceived like they obviously were. But God gave us this covenant so that we would rest. You know what? The word rest. You know, sometimes we misunderstand it in our culture. But if you're, you know, studying the word, you'll understand that the word rest in the Bible, you might be familiar with it. What's the word rest in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament? Sabbath. How many of you know that word Sabbath? And it means a rest. And sometimes we think, of course, you know, we think about how God rested on the seventh day. And we think that that's, of course, why we take a day a week off, or maybe we get the weekend off, you know, which is, of course, necessary. Make sure to have one full day off every week. That's actually, you know, biblically true. Rest, of course, yes, get all the sleep that you need. But God's rest is more than that. Amen. He wants to give you Sabbath rest through this covenant that he's made. He wants you to be at such peace because you know who you are in this covenant, that you know that even if the world is crashing down, that covenant is going to feed you every day. Even if you are down to your last nickel, you're going to have enough because you are in that covenant. Remember what Jesus said? See, this is why Jesus is the messenger of the covenant. Help me out up there. Can you bring up Matthew? Where is that? Chapter 11 and verse 28. How many of you remember this verse? Why did Jesus come to this earth? Now, I'm going to walk you a little bit further down the road here. Theologically, doctrinally speaking, this will help you. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, all those that are burdened. Now notice he's not talking about a physical object that you're carrying. He's talking about your spiritual burdens. He's talking about your emotional burdens. He's talking about the troubles on the inside, right? Which of course can lead to the troubles on the outside. Or be tried to be affected by the troubles on the outside. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor. Yes. You might even be working for God. Oh, yeah. You might be serving God with all of your heart, but yet those burdens still just keep coming at you. Sure. The devil's just trying to heap them on you, one after another. Burdens about your children. Burdens about your finances. Burdens about emotional struggles, family issues, health problems, whatever it is, those burdens that try to come on you. Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. I will give you true Sabbath rest. The word that Jesus used here is where we get the word Sabbath. I will give you rest that you won't even know those burdens are there. You'll have such strength and rest on the inside. You'll have such confidence. Remember, Jesus is what? He's the messenger of the covenant so that we would receive rest. Yes. This is why it matters to be the seed of Abraham. Yes, it does, right. The world could crash down around you, but you have Sabbath rest. Right. I have Jesus. Jesus is the Sabbath rest. I have confidence that blood was shed on the cross to ratify this contract that I have with Almighty God. He's going to take care of me every single day as long as I don't worry about it. Because worry is just the absence of knowing what you have in the covenant. Worry is when you just forget about who you are in Christ. Worry is just walking away from what God has told you you are. Jesus says, come to me, those that are burdened, and I'll give you rest. He didn't say all the problems on the outside were going to just go away. There's going to be challenges every single day of your life at times. You know, you could go through a lot of challenges, but the goal isn't to get rid of the challenges out here. The goal is to have Sabbath rest here. So no matter what the world throws on top of you, it's light. Why? Look at verse 29. Look what Jesus said. Keep on going there. He says, take my yoke upon you. He says, join yourself to this covenant that I've brought. Join yourself to me. That's what the word yoke means. A yoke is a farming instrument. Remember it tied the two oxen together? Yoke together. He says, you and me. The Lord's saying, you and me, let's walk together. He says, and learn from me. He says, I am meek and I'm lowly in heart. I don't think about myself first. I don't think about my troubles. I'm not just obsessed or preoccupied with my problems. He says, you shall find rest unto your souls. A rest that permeates your mind. A rest that permeates your spirit. A rest that is not shaken. A rest that is not troubled. A rest that is not worried. A rest that is not, panicked. This is what rest is. When Christians are out there just panicked and worried and so desperate and fretful, they don't realize Sabbath rest. Because they don't understand the depths of this covenant. And that's not a criticism. Believe me, I have forgotten who I am at times. It happens. You have a natural body. You have a natural mind. There's a lot in this world being thrown at you. Really, all that stuff is just trying to get you to forget who you are in this covenant. Right? Look at verse 30. He says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. This is what Jesus said. He's like, this is what is going on the inside of me. He said, because I am, in this covenant of Abraham, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. That does not mean you won't go through challenges. It does not mean that tests will not come. But there should be a Sabbath rest on the inside of us that is permeating our spiritual nature so much so that we're not walking around, carrying those burdens on our own. Destroyed by those burdens. Are you here?
Yes.
We're not done with this. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Wasn't planning to go this way. Hebrews 4, 1. You can turn there. You know what? Turn there in your Bibles. Totally good. Wasn't planning on this. Hallelujah. What Christians need right now more than anything is Sabbath rest. Why? Because Sabbath rest is what gives you stability. Stability. Hey, everybody, for lack of a better word, a way to describe it, the magic word for these days is stability. Stability will be the greatest element of spirituality. If you aren't stable, you're not spiritual. That went over well. Let us therefore look at Hebrews 4:1. Oh, I'm in Acts chapter 4. That's not Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. We're going to actually turn here. We're going to look at this for just a minute. It says, let us therefore fear. It's talking about reverence. Let us worship God. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. Notice Christians can come short of the rest that God has provided. Oh man, I tell you what, coming short of that rest is very detrimental in these days. You're going to need this rest. You're going to need to have this built in, meditated upon, believing God, fellowshipping with God in the light of his covenant. Talk to God of who you are in him. Father, I thank you. I'm in this covenant. Father, you are my covenant God. You are faithful to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, you said that you would meet every single need. Father, I am not going to be dismayed. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to be worried because I choose to take rest that was provided in this covenant. Are you here? Let us fear lest a promise of being left of entering into his rest that any of us should seem to come short of it. And then he goes on to say, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Isn't that interesting? He's talking about two groups of people that both heard the good news of the covenant. All right, and specifically, he's talking about the difference between the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. But he's talking about two groups that both heard the good news. The word gospel means what, everybody? Good news. Folks, are you getting some good news here today? The good news is that you're in this covenant. The good news is this is the reason why you're not going to go under. This is the reason why you're going to make it. You've heard the good news as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. All of us are hearing the good news of this covenant here today. Some are going to mix faith with it and believe it. Others are just going to hear it and let it bounce right off them. And they'll continue to live on this earth without entering in to the Sabbath rest. Because look at the very next verse. It tells us how to get this rest. For we which have believed do enter into this rest. Do we have any believers here today? Our nature in Christ is to be believers. Not just believe that Jesus died and rose again, but continue to believe that we are in this covenant. I believe those which have believed do enter into his rest. As he has said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God is saying long before this earth was even here, he made a plan to get you into that rest. Jesus shed his blood. He died and rose again on that cross so that you would not have to be worried and dominated by fear and consumed with the news and the negativity and the threat of war and economy. He wants you to look to him and say, Father, in you, I have every need met. I never have to be worried ever again. Father, I don't have to be stressed. I don't have to think about money. I don't have to be, you know, worried about that. Of course, we've got to go to work. Of course, we've got to pay the bills. Of course, you got to, you know, make a budget and have the practical side of life. But God doesn't want you worried about it. He's telling us today that in this covenant, there's an answer for you somewhere. Glory to God. He said, before the foundation of the world, I provided this rest. He said, but some decided not to mix faith. Some decided not to believe. Notice you receive this rest by faith. You receive it by faith. Say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel that rest. Stop trying to feel that rest. You can't. You can't feel that rest. You got to believe that rest. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, you know, everything is still chaos in my life all around me. No. You're looking out here again. Stop just trying to make the chaos go away. Make sure that you have rest on the inside. How do you do that? You believe. How do you do that? Go to God. I dare you, kneel before your heavenly Father and say, I believe in this covenant. I believe on the seed of Abraham. Father, I believe that you are still being faithful to this day. Lord, you see this challenge, you see this trial, you see this financial issue or sickness in my body, whatever it is. Father, I trust you. Worrying is only going to make it worse. Finding rest is the first step of healing in your body. Finding rest is the first step of having the provision that you need. Parents, your kids need to be parented by parents that have rest. Rest, it's stability. This is what gives you security in this life. Your paycheck isn't your security. The money you have in the bank could be worthless tomorrow for all we know. Let's not go down that road. People start getting afraid of that. Say, whoa, what do you mean money could be worthless? It could be worthless. You could wake up tomorrow and those numbers on your bank account screen, it don't matter. You could have $1 trillion. It won't matter when the dollar's worthless. That's why the Bible calls it uncertain riches. You do understand that there's politicians in this world and in our own nation that are playing games, printing fake money every day. Your money is becoming more and more worthless. You understand that. And one day, America's chickens are coming home to roost. And one day, your dollar in your pocket will be no more worth, it won't be any more worthwhile than a piece of paper. That's absolutely true. People are like, oh my goodness, don't say that. Do you know why Christians worry when they hear that that could happen? It could happen in your lifetime. They're not in rest. Dollar could be worthless tomorrow. It doesn't matter. You can't make this worthless. You can't steal the power away that is in this covenant. You can't take it away. You can't steal it. You can't remove it.
Are you here? When money comes and goes, when nations come and go, empires rise and fall, guess what is still here? Amen. This covenant, the goal isn't just trying to figure everything out and have enough money to have security. Money better not be your security.
Oh boy, that really makes people, that makes me real popular. Pastor, why you say that? It sounds doom and gloomy. Not if you're in the covenant, it's not. This is going to be the difference. This is why you're going to make it. Are you getting this? We need to start wrapping this up. Praise the Lord. This is why we can return to Him. This is why I don't have to be troubled by what other people are doing. This is why I don't have to be offended at what other people are doing, because God has laid down His offense towards me. That means I can lay down my offense towards others. I don't have to be offended. I don't have to be worried. People do not control your destiny. Your boss doesn't control your destiny. That person that hates you and is always criticizing you, they don't control you. Your business does not control your destiny. Praise God. God is, of course, helping us to succeed. But I'm just here to tell you, those things on this earth, those natural things do not determine your destiny with God. Are you here? This is why you're going to make it. Say, well, Pastor, I thought I was going to make it if I had enough money. Oh, no, no, no. You can have a lot less money and still not make it. You can have a whole lot of money and not make it. You can have a whole lot. You can have a whole little. It doesn't matter. That is not your security. Amen. Those that believe have entered into His rest. I believe it. I believe it. Say, well, Pastor, I'm just waiting for all the chaos to clear up around me. Stop that. Clean up the chaos in here. Clean up the chaos in here. Get it figured out in your heart first. Stop worrying. Stop panicking. Glory to God. Why? Why are you going to make it? Because of His covenant. Here's the second reason why you're going to make it. Go to Psalms chapter 6. And these last couple reasons are going to go faster. Go to Psalm chapter 6. Are you getting anything out of this here today? Oh my goodness. When I pray to God, I pray in the light of the covenant. That's who I am. He told Israel, said, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. He was calling them that 2,000 years after Jacob even walked this earth. He says, He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you could put your name in there. He's just as much your God as He was theirs. Look at Psalm 6 and go to verse 4. Yes. How many of you know David, King David, he had some troubles in his life, to say the least. He was on the run. People were trying to kill him at points in his life. Armies were chasing him. You know, I mean, all the stuff that he was facing. And he was in a point when he wrote this, the Spirit of God gave him this. And it was at a point in his life where it looked like he was not going to make it. He was not going to survive. And he says this to the Lord in a moment of great trial. He says, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. Save me for your mercy's sake. Save me, Lord, for your sake. Isn't that awesome? Here's the second reason why you are going to make it. For the glory of God. For the glory of God. There's got to be somebody somewhere that's going to make it to the other side of these challenges that can give a testimony of God's goodness. Amen. Look at this. In verse 5, look what David says. This is the point I'm making. David says, for in death, there's no remembrance of you, God. Boy, and some groups have taken this verse and perverted it and all this stuff. They think, anyway, he's saying, God, if I die, if I go to the grave, you are going to get no credit. He said, if I just get crushed and killed by these same armies that defeat everybody else, you aren't going to get any of the praise. He says, in the grave, who shall give you thanks? He says, Lord, if I'm crushed, are you here today? Yes. It's amazing. I'll tell you what, folks, don't let this world give you a sour face. Don't be troubled. Say, Pastor, man, you just act like you don't ever go through trouble. I'll tell you what, these last few weeks have been some of the most challenging weeks I've seen in a while. But I refuse to act sour about it. Amen. Praise the Lord. David's saying, if I die, who's going to give you praise, God? If I go down and I'm killed and thrown into the grave, where is the testimony going to be given for your glory? Who's going to praise God? What glory is in it for God if I just get killed or taken out or destroyed by my challenges?
But if God is the one that supernaturally causes me to get to the other side, if he's the reason that I'm still standing, then I can give him thanks, then I can give him glory, then he can be the one that receives a testimony and others can see that what God did for one, he'll do for somebody else. What benefit is it going to be for God if that challenge, if you worry yourself right into the grave? What glory is it going to be for God if you just concern yourself and panic yourself right out of this life? Are you here?
Yes.
See, Pastor, I just don't believe it. Well, go over to Psalm 50 and try to renew your mind. I'm going to show you this again. Yeah, for the covenant, but for his glory. What glory does God receive if you're just taken out early? What glory does God receive if your marriage is just destroyed? What glory is God going to receive? Are you here? Go over to Psalm 50. And go to verse 15. Here we go. Look at verse 15. This is the word of the Lord. This is God's voice speaking from heaven. Are you ready?
Yes.
You can go ahead. Underline this verse in your Bible. Say, well, Pastor, I don't underline in my Bible. Get rid of that one and get a Bible that you can underline in. Highlight it. Underline it. Highlight it and underline it. Star it. Circle it. But more importantly, say it. The Lord says this, call unto me in the day of trouble. Call unto me in the day of trouble. Oh, Pastor, that's just a bad faith confession. I don't believe that I'll ever see a day of trouble in my life. Oh, believe me, I'm not saying that you believe, you know, you're putting your faith in troubles. But if you think you're going to walk this life without ever being challenged, you're deceived. Nowhere in the history of this church have we ever said or promoted the idea that faith will keep you from every trouble in this life. People have tried to accuse me of that. I'm here to tell you, wrong. I've never believed that. I've never said that. And even, you know, when other ministers kind of have that idea, listen, I don't prescribe to this idea. Jesus said in me, you shall have peace, but in the world, you will have trials and troubles. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, you can go through troubles, but he said, be of good cheer because I brought you this covenant. He said this, call unto me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Why are you going to make it? Because you can glorify him. See, we think that the relief from our troubles or challenges is just about us getting our help. It's not about us getting our help. It's about God getting the glory. Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you just receive your need being met and God isn't glorified through it, see, we got to make sure we complete that process. Father God, I'm telling you, as you show up and provide in my life, I will praise you. I will worship you. I will give you the glory. I am nothing without you. Amen. Hallelujah. Call unto me in the day of trouble. Sounds like you're going to need God. Sounds like you're going to need to know this covenant. Seems to know you're going to need to know who you are in him. Are you here? Hallelujah. He said, I will deliver you. He didn't say he might. He didn't say, you better hope I do. He said, if you call unto me and if you make a decision ahead of time that you're going to give him the glory, he said, I will deliver you. But God isn't in the delivery business for your glory. He's in the deliverance business for his glory. Boy, we got to make sure we remember that. Ministers better make sure they understand what deliverance is about. It's for his glory. It's not to bring attention to your name or your ministry. It's for his glory. Hallelujah. He said, if you'll call unto me, if you've already made the decision ahead of time that he's going to get all the praise and the glory, if there's going to be a testimony, God said, I will deliver you. Go to Psalm 106. Hallelujah. We need our confidence restored.
We need our faith refreshed and renewed. If you're going to walk in this troubled earth, I'll tell you what, it's going to get darker and darker in this earth, but the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter till the perfect day. Brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. Light and easy. Not because the chaos around you just always is what you want, you know, but on the inside. You're immovable. Immovable. So, well, Pastor, I'm just not there. I'm not feeling it. I'm just not excited about this like you are. You know why? Because you haven't meditated in this. You know, when you sit on this and you just, you know, fill it. Fill, you know, get your spirit full of it. Amen. Glory to God. It doesn't mean you gotta, you know, wait. Listen, if you're here today thinking that I wake up out of bed in the morning just doing jumping jacks, if you think that I'm that guy that's just like, ding, oh, hey, you know, I'm not. You know, sometimes, I mean, you know, it's time to get up. It's early in the morning. Maybe the sun's just coming up or whatever, and it's like, ah. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You ever been there? It's not just because you're trying to put on some fake, you know, personality. But I know that no matter how tough the day is or isn't, I've got this covenant. Look at Psalm 106, verse 8. Nevertheless, he saved. The word saved means delivered. Nevertheless, God delivered them for his name's sake. Why? Why did God do it? That he would make his mighty power to be known. God wants his power to be known. That's why you're going to make it. That's why you're going to get to the other side. God needs to demonstrate his power through somebody. It might as well be you. Might as well be, you know, his people. Glory to God. He needs somebody somewhere to be an example of his goodness. Praise the Lord. And now third and finally, one, for his covenant. Two, for his glory. And three, for his love. Why are you going to make it? Because he loves you. We are what? More than conquerors through him that loved us. Where is that? Romans 8:37? Is that it? Can you bring that up if I'm even right? I believe that's the right reference. Can you bring up Romans 8:37? Let's just see. Is that the right one? No, and all these things, meaning all the things you face, all the troubles and challenges, all the threat on your life, he says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But Pastor, I'm being destroyed financially. You're loved. But Lord, Lord, I have this great, you know, physical need, a challenge in my body. You're loved. Can you bring up Romans 5:8? Turn over there real quickly with me. Romans 5:8, and we're going to wrap this up. Actually, I'm going to bring it up on the screen. I'm reading out of the King James. It says, but God commends his love towards us. He commends his love. You know that word commends is the word demonstrates. How many of you have a more modern Bible that translates that word commend as demonstrates? Go ahead and lift your hand. All right, several of you do. All right, that word, it means demonstrates. God demonstrates his love towards us. Notice God doesn't just tell us he loves us. He shows us he loves us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Even when you didn't deserve it, even when you were messing up, he gave you the greatest gift that ever was. He gave you the greatest gift that ever was. And if you could bring up, where is it? You're in Romans 8:32. But if God spared not his own son, but delivered him also up for us all, how shall he not with Christ freely give us all things? When is the church going to wake up and say, I've got everything I'll ever need? That's Sabbath rest. Because he spared not his son, You have all things. All things. And you know what the verse before that says? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah, this covenant. God loves you. That's why you're going to make it. You're more than a conqueror because you've been loved by God. Hey, real quickly, 1 John 4:18. We'll end right here. 1 John 4:18. It's so important that you get a revelation for God's love for you. There is no fear in love. Interesting. No fear. Remember in the 90s, everyone was putting the stickers on their car? No fear. Remember that? No fear. T-shirts. No fear. Stickers on your car. No fear. Is there anybody in here that would be willing to confess before God in this company that you had a no fear sticker on their car? Oh, we got some. There we go. Oh, yeah. We know who you are. Praise the Lord. No fear. Hey, go get a new no fear sticker and put 1 John 4:18 down there in the corner. No fear. What does it mean that there's no fear in love? It says, but perfect love casts out fear. There's something that can drive the fear out of your life. It's called perfect love. But wait a minute. Whose perfect love is that? God's perfect love. You and I, do you always walk in perfect love? Do you always treat people exactly the way they deserve to be treated every day of your life? And if you do, you're lying. Oh my goodness. It's not talking about the way we treat people, though that's very important. Okay? But when it says that there's no fear in love and perfect love casts out fear, it's talking about the love that God has for you. How do you know? Because we're not going to take the time. But if you go up to verse 16, he's talking about we believe the love that God has towards us. You've got to believe the love that God has for you. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, God's love, a revelation of how much you are loved by God will drive out all fear out of your life because fear has torment. He that is living in fear has not been made perfect in love. Meaning, people that are living life afraid have not gotten a revelation of how much they are loved by God. Fear is just the absence of knowing God's love for us. Fear is the forgetting of how much God paid for us at that cross. If we'll meditate and believe and confess, go to God, it's completely fine to say, Father, you love me. You overwhelmingly love me. Father, I thank you for your great love. This is why I'm going to make it. This is why God is going to provide for you. Not because you've crossed every T and dotted every I in your life. Not because you've never missed it. Not because you've never messed up. But because of his covenant. For this reason, you're not destroyed. For his glory, you'll call on him in the day of trouble and he will deliver you and you will glorify him for his love. Because he loves you so much, it drives out fear. If you're worried about your finances or the health in your body or your kids or your job or your marriage, you're worried, worried, worried. All this trouble in life is just trying to get us to forget how much God loves us. I believe it. Father, you love us with a great love. Father, I'm more than a conqueror because I'm loved by you. You brought me into a covenant that I didn't deserve. You washed me of my sins. You made me your son when I didn't. You demonstrate your love. You don't just tell me that you love me. You show me that you love me. Did you get some help here today? This is why you're going over. This is why you're not going under. This is why you're going to make it because of the covenant. Because for his glory and for his love. Amen. That's the word of God and we're sticking to it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you and praise you. We thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your grace that you've brought us into this covenant that we didn't deserve. We are the seed of Abraham. Father, you are faithful. Lord, you feed us every day. You strengthen us on that covenant. Father, I'm not relying upon myself to make it. I'm relying on you and that covenant. This covenant is why I have access to you. That I can come into your presence with confidence, knowing, Father, that you just greatly love me and take care of me. Father, in the day of trouble, you deliver me and you get all the praise and all the glory. I'm nothing without you. I have nothing without you. Father, we just worship you. We glorify you, Father. You are faithful and you are good, and we trust and we believe. Therefore, we rest. We rest. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be okay if we'll just live in the light of that covenant. It's going to be all right. The world can crash down around you. It's going to be all right. Trial can come upon you. It's going to be all right. You are a son or a daughter of the Almighty Living God. And he loves you with an unimaginable love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Every need is met. Every challenge is overcome. My goal isn't to just make all the problems stop around me. My goal is to be in Sabbath rest. With all eyes closed and every head bowed before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Ask yourself that question in the quiet of your own conscience. Have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? If you were to die today, would you be in heaven? Do you have complete confidence of that? Or would you be in hell, separated from God in eternal punishment? Yes, it's true. There is a hell. Jesus said it's a place where the flame is never quenched and the torment goes on forever. Those are the words of Jesus. But here are the words of Jesus, and here's the good news. He says, if you'll believe upon me, he said, I will go and prepare a place for you in my Father's house. He'll wash you of your sins, bring you into that relationship with the Heavenly Father, give you eternal life. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision, I encourage you, don't leave this place today without making Jesus your Lord and Savior, without confessing him and entering into faith in him. If you're here today and that's you and you know you need Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. We're not going to make a spectacle of you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. But if you know you need Jesus in your heart, I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. Then I'm going to lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, to confess him as Lord and Savior of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Just take that second of boldness and say, Lord, that's me. I need you. I see your hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that you say, yes, Pastor, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Is there anybody else that you haven't lifted your hand, but you just know on the inside that you need to do this? You need to give your life to God. Stop running from him. Anyone else? You just know. Maybe you're here and you're a Christian. You know you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but maybe you've fallen back. And today you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. If that's you, could you lift your hand? Is there anybody? I see those hands. I see that hand and that hand. I see hands. You can put them down. God loves you. Hey, we only get one shot at this life. Let's live it for God. Let's put him first. Let's pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, make sure you're praying this prayer with us. It's the most important thing you'll ever do. Don't just think these words in your mind. Pray them from your heart and out of your mouth. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Well, folks, we need to receive our normal tithes and offerings here for the church. And so what we're going to do, hey, ushers, if you could help me out, could we just make sure we have an usher at every exit of the door? You know, why don't we just do this? Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to give today as we exit. No, you are not paying for your way out of here. We're gonna charge you to leave. No, that's not what we're doing. But you know what? It just saves us a little time, right? Where we've just got an offering bucket at each of the exits. If you're filling out envelopes, they are there in the seats with you. Hey, don't forget about the great card. If you want to submit that great card, that would be wonderful. And if you're just, you know, believing God for the youth camp, let's be generous for the youth camp. Amen. Let's just go ahead and give God all the praise and glory before we go. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you. It is an honor to be a giver. It's an honor to be a tither. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name.